distant muffled cheer, and then everyone seemed to melt away again, leaving me standing there with tears in my eyes and feeling absolutely wretched. I'm glad I did not try to meet you again this morning. It would have spoiled everything after last night. All the same, I don't like to feel that you are in London, and yet I cannot see you, even if it is only for a day. It may be so long before we get another chance of meeting. And even now, these last 2 days, I've left unsaid most of what I had wanted to say. You are a dear, you know. R.A.L.
Buxton, 4th of January, 1915. I tried so hard that night to think of something to say that would express what I felt. I am sorry my aunt's thanks had to do for both of us. But perhaps you understood how I could not speak. I am glad it was London in which those 2 days were spent. London is the scene of all my dreams and visions, so it was a fitting stage for their unreality. It seems right, too, that your mother should have been part of them. I cannot tell you how pleased I am that I have met her, and that she thinks of me no longer merely as Edward's sister. Yes, I think I agree that another day might have spoilt those two. But I should have liked to have met you again all the same. I felt on Thursday evening that I was just beginning, that you were allowing me to begin to know the real you a little. It has not been easy to discover, but you will let me keep what I have found and not deliberately remove it again, won't you? It is little enough, after all. The roses you gave me have lived such a long time. I wore them all yesterday. They were as sweet scented as ever, and somehow their fragrance seemed to cling around me like a benediction. I know it must be hard to go back to your regiment. I sympathize very much. Both of us now seem to be doing about the only things possible to us, and yet neither the circumstances nor the individuals that surround us are exactly what either of us would choose. But I believe that you are meant for some special destiny, just as I have always felt I am, and I do not doubt that some day we shall both come into our own. I shall look forward to your letters, when after a long and tiring day you are sometimes not too weary to write them. I told you I had never met any class of people with which I could feel myself in sympathy. But after all, I do not need a class. An individual, perhaps I mean the individual, is far better. I shall not soon forget New Year's Eve. I suppose the New Year came in while I was watching the rather blurred lights on the railway line rushing swiftly past in the darkness. Unreal as the day seemed, the impressions it has left and the remembrance of it are utterly beyond comparison with the fleeting memory of a dream. They are intensified, too, by the tragedy around us all, which seems now to remind me of itself with a new insistence and underlie everything like the deep and solemn accompaniment of a song.
Peterborough, 7th of January, 1915. Dear Vera, it was such a sweet letter, and with so much to be read in it that was not written in ink. Before a week ago, perhaps, I could not have understood it and you not have written it. Now it is different. You say that you are just beginning to know the real me. You do not know how much it means to me to have caught a glimpse of the real you. By the way, when you go back to Oxford, do you go straight across country from Buxton? I was thinking that I might manage to meet you in London. Our London. On your way. I could invent some excuse for getting a few hours' leave. If this would not work, would Leicester do instead? It is not very far from here. I should so like to be able to see you again.
It is such a pleasing suggestion of yours, but I am afraid London is impossible. But I can manage...